Some critics of Christianity look at its thousands of denominations and splinter groups that call themselves Christian, and they wonder, where is the unity that Jesus talked about? There's no doubt that opinions and Bible interpretations vary widely. So how should a believer handle the fact that the faith is represented in so many different ways? To find out, stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his new series on Christians in Conflict. Join us now as we hear what happens when beliefs collide.
I have a reading I'd like to share with you. It's entitled Baptists on the Bridge. Once I was in San Francisco walking along the Golden Gate Bridge when I saw this guy on the bridge about to jump. I thought I'd try to stall him, detain him, long enough for me to put film into my camera. I said, "Don't jump." He turned his head. He said, "Nobody loves me." I said, "God loves you. How do you know there is a God?" I said, "Of course there's a God." He said, "I guess you're right." And a tear came to his eye. I said, "Are you a Christian or a Jew or a Hindu or what?" He said, "A Christian." I said, "Me too, small world. Protestant or Catholic or Greek Orthodox?" He said, "Protestant." I said, "Me too, what franchise?" He said, "Baptist." I said, "Me too, Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist?" He said, "Northern Baptist." I said, "Me too, Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist?" He said, "Northern Conservative Baptist." I said, "Me too, Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist or Northern Conservative Reform Baptist?" He said, "Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist." I said, "Me too, Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region or Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Eastern Region?" He said, "Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region." I said, "Me too, Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. He said, "Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. I screamed, "Die, heretic," and I pushed him over. I have a question to ask you today. Whatever happened to the church that Jesus built? Millions of people say that they belong to the church that Jesus built, but we are so divided. And the divide isn't only between Catholic and Protestant. You look at the Protestant side of the ledger and you find that there are Methodists and Baptists and Presbyterians and Episcopalians. And then you find that within those groups, you have various categories, and you have different kinds of Baptists and different kinds of Presbyterians. Why do we differ? That's the question. And what can we do about it if we need to do anything about it? Some people say that we have too much unity already and that we're sacrificing truth. Other people say what we need is more unity. Where do we go? On a superficial level, it's understandable why we might disagree, because if you read the Bible for the first time especially, it is a vast book treating many different topics in many different ways, and it's difficult to get your mind around it, and some differences are very understandable. It is sometimes said that Martin Luther opened the Bible to the common person. That's true, but he was against the idea that I have my own little interpretation going on. He said that if everybody interprets the Bible in their own way, then each person can go to hell in his own way. We need to stand on the shoulders of those who have preceded us. We need some collective wisdom when it comes to interpreting the Bible. Let me give you some reasons why we do have differences. First of all, we could point to such things as the limitations of man, the limitations of man. It's understandable that there would be disagreements regarding free will versus predestination. I mean, there are all kinds of mysteries connected with that, and so some come down on one side of that ledger and others come down on the other side, and so that's understandable. Also, some of the verses in the Bible need to be interpreted within a larger context. For example, let's suppose that the only verse in the Bible regarding salvation was Acts chapter 2, verse 38, where Peter said, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins." Now, if that were the only verse about salvation, we might conclude that baptism is necessary for salvation. But then you've got hundreds of references in the New Testament, particularly in the book of John, that clearly say, "He who believes is saved." So what do you do? And then you look at chapter 2, verse 38 of Acts, and you realize that there is a reason why Peter connected it with baptism, but baptism isn't necessary for the forgiveness of sins. So you can understand that that happens, and so differences arise. Also, we have not only the limitations of men, the perversions of men, our bias, our sinfulness. We all have a tendency to go to the Bible to find out what we want it to say. And if we want to say that we are part of our salvation and that we contribute to our salvation, we can find texts that seem to say that, and then you can build a whole system of doctrine and sacraments and good works and penance, and you can build all those things around a certain theories because of our desire to say that if salvation is free, people are going to misuse it. Also, you have the power of the church throughout history. For example, in medieval times, it was believed that grace was communicated through the sacraments. Now, think of what that meant. That meant that the priest had in his hand the destiny of the souls of his parish. If he didn't give them the sacraments, they would go to hell. In fact, there were times, such as in the days of John Hus in Prague, where the Pope issued an interdict. That meant that there could be no sacraments whatever in the city, because Hus was preaching the gospel. And it was known that if there were an interdict, people would become so angry with him that they'd kick him out of Prague, which is exactly what happened. Because, you see, if you're told that there are no sacraments, it means that you're all being consigned to hell. The power of the priest was absolutely overwhelming. And people love power, don't they? So you have the perversions of men. You have the unbelief of men. There's some splits in Protestant denominations, for example, that are legitimate and that are right. Because you have certain bodies of believers who have moved away from the truth of the gospel. The Episcopalians are facing the possibility of a split over ordaining gay clergy. And there are some Presbyterian churches that no longer preach the gospel, if I might say. And so there were different groups that broke away. And now you have many, many Presbyterian churches that very clearly preach the gospel, but they had to separate. So some of that is all understandable. Then you have the preferences of people. Oh, we're into preferences. We're into worship styles. I go to this church because I like its worship style. I like its music, but I can't take that church because I don't like its music. And personal preferences today trumps doctrine. It trumps oftentimes the vision of a church, because we want to go where it just suits us perfectly. You know, when I'm at pastors' conferences, I'm always asked, is Moody Church a traditional church or is it a contemporary church? And I smile and I say, we are a biblical church. Isn't that wonderful? And thank God we have both traditional and contemporary as we try to take the best from both. But where does this leave us? Now, I do have to distinguish between what is sometimes called the invisible church. I don't like that word very well, but it refers to the whole body of Jesus Christ, the church universal. Everybody who belongs to the universal church, the church invisible as it is called, is a born-again believer and will be in heaven. And that transcends denominations. Sometimes God's people are found in the most unlikely places. That's why we do not consign people to hell just because they don't belong to our denomination. Because we realize that even in some of these churches that no longer preach the gospel, there are saved people. And so what we recognize is that there is the invisible church. The invisible church includes the living and the dead. Paul says in chapter 3, verse 14 of Ephesians, he says this very clearly, the Father before whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. And someday we'll all be together in heaven. And that group of the elect is called in theology the invisible or universal church. Everyone who's a member of it is a born-again believer. But now let's talk about the local church. Let's talk about Moody Church. What can we say about it? First of all, it's a mixed multitude to some extent, because we're not God. When you become a member of Moody Church, you are interviewed by someone who asks you your understanding of the gospel. It's not a huge theological test. We just want to know whether or not you've savingly believed on Jesus. About 15 or 20 years ago, I had lunch with a man over at Michael's, and I could go to the table that we were sitting at, who was a member, and he was saying things that were far out there. And he sits there and tells me that in no sense does he want Jesus to bear his sin, that he will bear his own sin for himself and the penalty of it. He said, I can't expect somebody else to bear my sin. I said, of course you can't, but that's where grace and love come in. Now you have to understand, he's sitting on one side of the table and I'm sitting on the other, and I'm sure I took off my glasses. And I looked at him and I said, if you keep believing what you are believing, you are going to hell. And then he said something very shocking. He says, if I have to go to hell to bear my own punishment, to hell I will go. Chilling. Yes, my friend, that is chilling indeed. I hope no one listening to this broadcast today says that, because I'd have to say the same to you as I said to him. You will be lost forever if you think that Jesus didn't bear your punishment or receive from Jesus the gift of eternal life, which he died to give you. The fact is, we can't expect Jesus to have done this, but the good news is that he did. And that's the understanding of grace, and that's where mercy comes in, and that's where forgiveness comes in. But there's another lesson to be learned. I ask myself, how did this man that I referred to a moment ago, how did he become a member of Moody Church? Somehow he slipped through our membership process, and we've tightened it since that time. But the fact is that you can be in church, you can have slipped through any membership process by saying the right words, and still not have believed in Jesus. At the end of the day, it's not the church that you belong to, it's not the things that you are involved in, it's not the money that you give, it's between you and Jesus and your heart. So I end today by asking you, have you savingly believed in Jesus, or did you self-deceive yourself because of wrong teaching or a wrong kind of faith? Today, call out to Jesus, trust him alone.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. You've heard part one of Dr. Lutzer's message on When Beliefs Collide, the second in his new series on Christians in Conflict. There's no doubt the visible church comes in a lot of flavors. Tomorrow, why it's the invisible church that really matters. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church. Our four-part series on Christians in Conflict can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Christians in Conflict when you call. Visit our website at runningtowin.org. And don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. So why do those beliefs collide? To find out, join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.